Usually on birthdays, the kid who has the birthday gets to do whatever they want. Cake first, or presents.
Wow, that's a good idea. Cake first.
I would do presents first, then we can do cake.
That's a fun idea.
So we won't get our fingers sticky when so I won't get my boxes sticky on my toys.
That's a good idea.
Because I do not like to wash my hands after I eat.
I get it. I went to a wedding and we'd gone to the reception.
Yes.
And anyway, they come into the reception room and introduce them. They did that and said, bring out the cake. And we're having dinner. And they brought out and they cut the wedding cake right then and said, they said, sometimes in life you just want to eat cake first. And I thought, that was
cake.
Haven't been to a wedding like that since, before or since. I thought, oh, it's wonderful. We all had cake. We had it immediately. Maybe that was fun. We missed you last week. We missed Dave last week. And so we've got this. We told Linda she stinks at leaving, so we have a few extra, couple extra times with her. So I said, okay, so we're going to keep dumping things on Linda. It's like, wait, I should have said, wait, I have more. Wait. So these are the wait sermons.
So who stinks, Linda or us?
I think we did a pretty good job myself. So I told her, I said, hey, I'm going to just keep, we'll just pile on to last week, okay? So remember we talked about what does it look like to trust in him and how God just kind of like enjoys that thing inside of us of learning to trust him. He enjoys that season of watching us. He smiles big when we lean into the trust. We talked about Christ in me, the hope of glory. We talked about like what it looks like to reign with Christ inside, and that his terms are always best, thinking about us. We kind of explored this, what's a good way of understanding faith? And I said, we talked about faith. It's like walking in our identity, right? God, this is what God says. This is what God says about me. This is what God says about this situation. This is what God says about him. And my faith is like, okay, I'm going to walk in those things. I'm going to agree with those things. And so what's life look like agreeing with those things?
Better.
Oh, yeah, right? There you go. And remember this one? We sort of ended with this verse in Ephesians about to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, remember that? That knowing him is greater than knowing him. And he says that when we actually get to that point of realizing it's this relational experience of connecting with him, of knowing his heart, right? That's when God says, when this begins to get bigger here, that's when he says, he uses this term that we're beginning to experience now this fullness of God, right? And we started talking about what do you do when you have these, okay, I'm walking in faith, okay, I'm trusting in you. God, my experience looks like this isn't going to end well. And God, the report from the doctor said this, or my checking account says this. And so we begin to sort of re-describe God. We sort of like put him in a smaller and smaller box because my experience is, cancer always wins in the end. My experience is, right, this is going to happen because of my finances. I project that. I project dire circumstances. I just got this like spinning out of control fear thing going on. And so we sort of closed last week saying, hey, this thing of faith, right, agreeing and walking with what he's saying, him and me, what he says about this circumstance, says, faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It's not, you know, I've got to say, no, I don't have cancer. No, I don't have cancer. No, it's like, faith doesn't say that's not happening. Faith isn't like, I refuse to accept that it's in my house. Faith just says, it doesn't get to influence my decision right now. It doesn't get a vote. Faith says, God's already voted. Heaven's already made a decision about this. And so what does that look like? And then we went back and looked at, we closed with this, looking at Mark 9, about the Jesus coming down from the mount, and the disciples are praying for the boy that's has a demon, and they're like, they can't, nothing's happening. And we talked about this word "if," where the father, they couldn't pray it out, the disciples, and they looked at the father, goes to Jesus, says, well, if you can. And Jesus literally says in scripture, why do you mean if?
Right.
Mark 9, right? So that's where we have, what do you mean if I can? Because what's he arresting? We said, what's he arresting right now? Immediately pulling on, okay, there are situations where God doesn't move. Okay, there's situations where God won't heal. Okay, and we begin to re-describe God. We begin to shrink God down to what I can understand, to my mind, my experience. God says, don't do that. don't put big God in your little man brain. Put, right? God lives in mystery. God lives in this. So when we prayed for Dano last week and Michael, we prayed for God, show off.
Yes.
Because some of us go, I don't have an answer. I don't know what to tell you. I got an interview for a job I didn't apply for. Right? Yeah. So here's a story. In the first book of Samuel, okay, we come across this woman. Her name is Hannah. Okay. And Hannah, we know she's barren. She has no kids. And we know that her husband just dotes on her, loves her. But Hannah is heartbroken that she doesn't have a child. The husband has two wives. And the other wife is like, narny, narny, narny. And making fun of her and insulting her. And can you just see the knife going deep? So now this heartbroken woman is even, it's like, pain. And so all she wants is a child. Right? So here's Hannah's experience. Here's what I need and want. And in Israel, what's going on around her? Right? Something bigger. Right? Israel's in trouble again. Not in a good place. And God's got a solution. They need a prophet. They need a judge. And you think Hannah's thinking about that? No. What's Hannah? Hannah's here. God's up here. Here's what God needs. Right? And all of a sudden, creative God. Right? Hannah prays, asks God for a son. And if you give me a son, I'll give him to your service. Right? You can go read the story of Hannah. She has a son. His name was, anybody know?
Samuel.
And then Samuel enters into the house of the Lord under the priest Eli and is raised up as a priest. And so Hannah gets a son, God gets a prophet. By the way, it's the same, this prophet, this judge, is the same one who anointed
David,
King David, right? So it's like, there's just something here where Hannah's cry for what her need, right, all of a sudden connects with God's heart's cry for a prophet. And so both worlds come into agreement and heaven responds. And it aligning our hearts with God. One of the reasons I think God in Mark 9 said, what do you mean if? It's like, always keeping our prayer open. It's like, God, I don't get it.
There is no if.
God's like, he wants you to like, not, well, if it's your will to heal. No, it's God says, no, we pray for healing. We pray for the goodness of God to be on display. And we watch, you know, I tell people, I can look back on my life at moments of seasons of life I wouldn't want to put anybody in because they were horribly painful. They were bad. They were, in fact, I would say, God, you failed. Now I look back and go, wow, look what you did in that season. Look what you did in me. It's that Hannah pray for a son, God's heart for Israel. And it's like, how do I stay in that place of praying God's heart? It's like hating what God hates, loving what God loves, and learning how to just keep my heart in alignment with Him. Here's another one, John the Baptist, right? John's, you know how we meet John. He's baptizing people in the river, and then he notices a man in the distance, and he points to him and says, Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And scripture, I love how scripture just talks about this, the heavens opened and the Spirit descended and rested. And it's like, it's just a fun exploration of what's going on. But what's John preaching? Oh, John's prophesying of his coming, but now he's present. Right. Fast forward John's story. John's in prison. Right? About to die. And you're like, okay, I'm John. What's my frame of mind right now? Because part of my assignment was to prepare the way for the one who releases people from prison. And so John's confused. I don't get it. And he actually sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus and just said, can you go ask him, is he the one coming or not? And it's an interesting question, right? When you've already announced he's the one coming, but and he's the one everyone's looking for, right? Remember, he's in prison. And John had the sense, I'm not getting out of here. Right? I remember, I love Bethel. Folks, and I remember Eric Johnson, the son of Bill Johnson, who's mostly deaf, and has you can hear it in his audible. He's got implants or whatever you call them.
Yeah,
but it impacts his cadence and his voice and stuff. So I believe in miracles. I believe God opens deaf ears. He has prayed for the deaf. And their ears have opened.
Mm-hmm.
Not his. Right? So, you can sometimes get stuck in your head, then God doesn't heal. Wait, hold on a second, you didn't. So now I create a new theology that says, well, let's talk about the conditions, he'll heal here, but he won't get sick. Wait, that's part of the Jesus saying to the disciples, stop. What do you mean if? Right? But how does Jesus answer John? Are you the one? Because I'm in prison. And I'm probably not going to get out. And I think his answer is instructive. I think it's maybe even a little irritating, but also cool. He says, he told his disciples, tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. Tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. Now, it's kind of like, let's remind ourselves about the prayer we had for Dano and Michael. Why? What he's done before. He's still doing, and he's going to do again. Jesus could have said, go preach to him. Go open the scriptures, do a verse-by-verse study of the prophets to prove, show him his identity of who he was as a prophet. He could have talked to him about the manger, the angels, the shepherds, right? Instead, what's he do? He says, go back and tell him what's happening out here. Miracles are happening. And Jesus, wanting John's life to end well, turns his attention back to, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm doing. I'm bringing healing. I'm bringing deliverance. I'm declaring the good news. Where's shy of seeing him, seeing heaven's reality, right? Shy of that. And I don't see heaven's reality. What am I looking at? The unseen. Hades. I'm looking at things that I'm not seeing, right? I'm stuck in fear. What do I see? What do I see in this place, right? I'm expecting something else over here. I'm expecting death. I'm expecting loss. I'm expecting destruction. Scripture tells me that. The enemy came to
steal, kill, destroy.
I came to bring life. So he tells them, so he's reminding John, don't look this way. Look this way. And I think Jesus, by turning us to miracles, turning us to the testimony of it, he's reminding us that eternity's in us. It's like, it's in my blood. It's in our veins, right? Eternity, but yet I live now. The eternity's in me, but I'm living right now in this time slot, right? I'm a citizen of heaven. He tells me that, but I'm a citizen of earth. He says, you're saved. But when Jesus comes again, he'll say, more? Yeah, there's more. My old nature's been crucified with Christ. Yet, that baggage is still hanging around, tripping me. I still have this capacity to pick it back up. I'm totally healed. Wait, I'm sick again. I'm totally free. Wait. My sin nature is gone. No, wait, it's here again. Right? What's happening? We're letting blinders come back on. God says, stay here. Right? So this, we often live in this, what do you call that? Saved, more to be saved. Citizen versus citizen. There's a tension.
Dichotomy.
Yeah. So there's this thing that's like, wait a second, God. The old man, the new man, the old mind, this transformed mind, not seeing, seeing. I think. And you can help me find some verses to stick into what I think. This tension space is the soil of faith. Our faith is like, my faith comes alive in like this place between those two realities, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this age, right? So this exercise of my faith is in that gray space. It's like this, in fact, this thing of God saying, hey, where do I build my trust? In that space. Right? Do I have conflict in my soul? Yeah, sometimes. Do I have confusion in my mind? Yeah, sometimes. And so how do I rescue myself? How do I come out of this? How do I wake up? I bring myself into fellowship, into agreement with, into celebration of, into the worship of, into the praise of, the awareness of the goodness of God. And in everything, the goodness of God. I come to learn to rely on, regardless of what the devil throws my way, what's my response? Regardless of the doctor report, what's my response? Regardless of my checkbook, what's my response? Regardless of the punch and the slap and the poke and the anxiety, what's my response? Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. It's like this place, learning to live with mystery, learning to live with God's bigger than my circumstance, learning to live with I don't know. Learning to live with, I don't have an answer, right? I would like to say it doesn't need to be painful or dreadful, but it is part of our story. But we value the outcomes that Jesus said, go tell them what I'm doing. We treasure the miracles. We treasure the breakthroughs. We treasure the morning of de-sloking. We treasure the morning of respite and worship, mm-hmm. where it's like you just felt kind of bathed and washed. You just kind of like, it just feels good to remember your, I mean, some of those songs of the Lord that Justin, it's like, we just stand in awe of your goodness because you're here. I mean, we just love to be here with you, and so our soul gets revived in that remembrance of who he is. He's just greater. It's like when life sucks, worship. When I don't know what to do, worship. When I'm hurting, worship. Right? And I just remind myself that, right? So, and honestly, God treasures that process in you. He knows the outcome. He knows when you worship, it brings relief. He knows it. You go, it's gonna be okay, right? And then all of a sudden you walk with something happens and you get financial breakthroughs. You get a report that the doctor said, "Wow, I can't explain it, but." Test that. Forget what I told you last time because things look pretty good right now. Right? So, I'm learning to trust this way. So, what we believe about him is very evident in the trials. Right? I've told people before, the greatest force in the universe is, and everybody usually says, oh, it's God. It's like, true, but there's more in the story. It's like I pray and God answers the prayer. Okay, on God's part, that's easy. He's all powerful. But what he doesn't control is our response to him.
Right.
Okay. So he certainly has influence in your life, but not control. Right? He's given you this incredibly valuable gift, free will. Mm-hmm. Free will. It's so important, because without free will, love doesn't exist. Love only exists because of your will to step into it. Right? So I tell people, the greatest force in the universe is my privilege to choose. And when my will is surrounded by his purposes, when my will is like infused with him, when my will is in agreement, in alignment with heaven's purposes, mm-hmm. it's like all of creation gets closer to that healing that God promised. Right? So when God promises healing, you know what he's promising? Healing. This whole ecosystem. Sometimes my victory becomes Aaron's. Wait, different circumstances, different home, different. Yep. And that victory becomes his. And he takes that, and that becomes a rock in his wall. Right? And all of creation becomes closer to this healed, whole person that God's created us to be. Right? And what's happening? We're waking up. Gates of hell aren't prevailing. We're waking up to knowing more and more about who we are. Mm-hmm. We're coming closer and closer to being a people who find out who we are. Romans 8:19. I didn't bring my right Bible up, but let me just use this. Romans 8:19 says this: for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creation is eagerly waiting the revealing of the sons of God. What's happening? We're waking up. We're becoming healed. We're becoming closer to him. We're becoming, walking more and more in this identity of who we are. What God's talking about, going from glory to glory to glory. We're walking more in this reality of heaven than we are in this age, right? And which is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And we're waking up to reigning in Christ, him co-laboring with heaven, right? It's wisdom to realize what God's given us access to. And what is in his possession, entirely in his possession, right? Mm-hmm. And so here we are. Here's God, fullness of God, and then here's that dichotomy place, that tension place, and we're learning to walk in faith here. We're learning to, that trust is, we're learning to lean into him. We're learning to have trust right here. And it's like that thing of, I don't get it, God. I don't understand God. What about God? Right? Deuteronomy 29 says this: the secret things belong to our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. We're waking up to that, who he is, who we are. We're awake. And by the way, once you've given me that, I own it. It's mine. I can always go back to that anchor point in my life. I don't know this, but I remember this. What about that? I remember this. I always tell people, remember the prophecies over you, remember the miracles over you, remember the moments, the encounters, the falling on your face, blurring, blubbering, and where God just met you. Because that's that moment of remembrance, right, is often the seeds for those breakthroughs, right? In Romans 8:28, one of the greatest verses, I think, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God.
Yeah.
To those who are the called according to his purposes. It's like, what are we going to remember? He's good. I don't get it. He's good. I don't understand. He's good. The Hannah Israel story. I'm here. And God's here. Trust me in this process. Okay. Trust me that I can answer that as I do this. Right? Is it mystery? Yeah. But here's the guarantee. Yep. Is there a guarantee? Yep. There is a guarantee. There is an absolute guarantee, right? One thing you're assured of walking with the Lord, right? Scripture says he wins.
We know the ending.
He recorded the score of the game in the book. We win. Mm-hmm. Right? So because of this, why is that important? Because of this, then adversity, conflict, problems, I don't go to that place of panic or despair. I'm John in prison. Maybe leaning towards, wait, is he really the one? Remind him this, right? Because we know we win, because we know he's already told us the end of the story, I don't go to panic or despair. So when you see believers that are in that place, remind them about the goodness of God, right? Remind them about all things work together for good, right? And look, knowing how things will turn out, based on the promises of a good, loving, eternal Father, absolutely changes the nature of my life today. Right? It should change the nature of my next step today. It should change the nature of that encounter in Walmart today. It should change the nature of whatever nonsense happens at work this week. Right? He's good. He loves you. He's crazy in love with you. He's bringing us into healing and fullness of who we are in him. It's like, okay, yay God. But I don't get it. I know. But what about, I know. So Father, we just say thank you for faith. We thank you for that sandbox of trust that you let us play in. God, we thank you that your love is there in our pain. We thank you that your goodness is there when our world feels disrupted. God, we thank you for saving us and healing us and rescuing us and delivering us. God, so we just lean into the things you're doing around us. God, we lean into the miracles. We lean into the encounters. Mm-hmm. We lean into more of Holy Spirit. And so we covet you. We ask for more in Jesus' name. Amen. Come and meet us in our dreams. God, come and sit with us at our table. Rest with us in the nights, seasons. Be with us at our jobs. God, we just celebrate the goodness of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.